Today is Worldwide Communion Sunday. You can see the flags around the sanctuary. Many of these flags represent countries where we have mission partners. But on Worldwide Communion Sunday, all the churches globally decide we will celebrate the Lord's table on this day, reminding us that we have brothers and sisters in Christ across the corners of the world. And the celebration of this family table reminds me of a family table that we read about in 1 and 2 Samuel. It concerns Saul, his son Jonathan, and David, Jonathan's son. We're going to read portions of 1 and 2 Samuel and follow that storyline. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. Now, by this time, Saul has tried to kill David on several occasions. Then Jonathan said to David, "By the Lord, the God of Israel, I will surely sound out my father by this time the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed towards you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father is inclined to harm you, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away safe. May the Lord be with you, as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." Now we're going to skip down to 2 Samuel chapter 4. Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, she fell, and he fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth. And then we'll go down to chapter 9. David asked, "Is there anyone still left from the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" David replied. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo-debar." So King David had him brought from Lo-debar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth." "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Jonathan was the oldest son of King Saul. That meant he was next in line to the throne. And when David was brought to the court of Saul as a court musician, David and Jonathan became close friends. Over the years, David became a commander of the army, and God blessed his every endeavor. People began to sing a song. "Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul became jealous. The jealousy grew even more when the prophet Samuel said to Saul, "Your throne is going to be taken from you and given to another because of your disobedience." And now Saul is insanely jealous. He has sought to kill David several times by this time. And by this time, Jonathan knew that the kingdom would be given to David. But Jonathan was not jealous. Their friendship was so true that they could rejoice in the blessings of the other, even if they were not experiencing the blessings. And that's the mark of true friendship. One day, after Jonathan discovered that his father wanted to kill David, he arranged to have David sent away. But before David was sent away, he wanted to secure a promise from David. He said, "Show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live, so that I may not be killed, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family." Now, it was common practice in the ancient Middle East that if you took the throne, you would kill the family of all the rivals who might aspire to that throne. That was the common practice. And even though David and Jonathan were friends and they loved and cared about each other, Jonathan wanted to secure David's word that should he become king, and Jonathan thought, yes, he will become king, you will not kill me, nor would you kill my family. And so they made a covenant before the Lord, asking the Lord to witness it, asking the Lord to judge them if they should break that covenant. Well, Saul was wanting to kill David, and David was sent away. Eventually, Jonathan and his father Saul were killed in battle on the same day, and David became king of Israel. Now, some years later, David is in his palace, and he's thinking back on his relationship with Jonathan, and he asks, "Is there anyone left that I can show kindness to the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake?" Now, that word translated kindness is chesed in the Hebrew. We often translate that as loving kindness. We have a little song that says, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Well, that word there is chesed. It implies graciousness, love, undeserved favor, affection, and blessing towards someone far beyond what they deserve. The word is most often used of God and of his loving kindness towards us. So to get a picture of loving kindness, perhaps imagine someone who stands at the on-ramp or an off-ramp of a freeway. He's holding up a sign, you know, whatever the signs usually say, and you've stopped at that corner for over a month, seeing the same person there. And one day you decide, "I'm going to show him grace and kindness." So you roll down the window and you say to the man, "I have a house that I've been renting and it's empty. I'm going to let you live in my house for free. And I'm going to stock your house with groceries every day. And I'm going to pay you $1,000 a month just to take care of my house while you're living in it. And I'm doing it just because I want to show you kindness and grace." Now, is that gracious? Is it kind? Does he deserve it? No. But boy, is it gracious. Boy, is it kind. And if you add love and affection to that, you have an idea of chesed. So David says, is there anyone that I can show chesed to from Saul's family for Jonathan's sake? Now, no one knew if such a person existed, but they did know about a servant of the household of Saul named Ziba, and he was brought before David. And David asked, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And Ziba answered, well, there's still a son of Jonathan, but he's lame in both feet. Now that son's name was Mephibosheth. When he was 5 years old, word came to the palace that both his father and his grandfather were killed in battle. The immediate fear of the family was, David's gonna be king, and if he does what every other king does in the Middle East, we're gonna be slaughtered and killed. And so the nanny picked up the 5-year-old Mephibosheth and started to run in order to flee, but she fell. Mephibosheth fell also, and he broke both legs. And since there's no one there to set them correctly, he grew up lame. Where is Mephibosheth? The king said. And Ziba answered, he's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Lo Debar means no pasture land. It was a desolate place in the wilderness. Very few people lived there, and if you lived there, no one really cared about you. And if you were a part of the previous dynasty, you were either executed, or you lived in exile, or you lived in hiding. Mephibosheth was in hiding, and no one knew who he was or where he was except for Ziba. Now, one day, emissaries from the king come to the hut where Mephibosheth is living. And that's the last thing Mephibosheth wants to see, right? An emissary from the king saying, the king wants to see you. And so he's escorted back to Jerusalem with the king's soldiers. And he's afraid the entire trip. And when he's brought to appear before King David, he threw down his crutch and fell down before the king. And the king said, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth answered, your servant. Don't be afraid, the king said, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, and you will always eat at my table. Now, can you imagine his wonderful surprise? Here he is thinking, I'm going to be killed. And instead, he automatically becomes a large landholder, and he's invited to the king's family table. That land was substantial. It was part of the royal holdings. It was David's now because he was king, but now he was giving it all to Mephibosheth. And he was making Mephibosheth a part of his family. Mephibosheth bowed down and answered, what is your servant that you should consider a dead dog like me? Mephibosheth reasoned correctly. Who is he to be shown grace? He immediately stopped being a guy who hid out in a desolate place, and he became a great landholder who's now part of the king's family. He was a nobody, lame, crippled, and poor. But now the king's anointed showed grace to him for the sake of another. He showed Mephibosheth grace because he belonged to Jonathan. Have you ever thought, why would God save someone like me? It's not as if we are deserving of his salvation. It's not as if we can point to our life and say, God, notice all I've done. Isn't it wonderful? I deserve everything. Now, if we examine our hearts, we think, if God let me go my own way, I would have perished. If he was to treat me as my sins deserve, I would be deserving of hell. And yet, he has chosen me for grace. We are chosen for the sake of another. You see, when we are joined to Christ by faith, it's like a husband being joined to his wife. And now that we are joined to Christ, God treats us as if we are a member of his family. Indeed, we have been made the sons and daughters of God. And now we inherit the family blessing, the family kindness, the family abundance. After the king told Mephibosheth that he'd be treated as a member of his family, he summoned Ziba. That was Saul's servant. He said to them, I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. And you and your sons and your servants, you're going to work the farmland for them, and you're going to bring the produce in so that Saul's grandson may be provided for. And he's going to live here with me and eat at my family's table. Like Mephibosheth, we have been invited to the family table. Indeed, we've been made sons and daughters of God. And we sit at this table not only with each other, who are part of the Eastminster family, but today we are reminded that our family includes believers in Jesus from every tongue and tribe and nation, representing different colors and cultures and languages. And because we have been shown grace, we are to show grace, not only to people we like, not only to people who are like us, but to people of different colors and languages and cultures and political orientations. The king is gracious. His people are to be gracious as well. For the rest of Mephibosheth's life, he lived under the grace of God's anointed. So imagine this scene. Mephibosheth has moved into the palace of the king. It's a palace of cedar walls. The walls are overleafed with gold. The golden lamp stands in the palace in the banquet room, just reflect off that golden wall, and it's just a beautiful place with a table stacked with food, more food than on Thanksgiving Day. The king is there, and so is his family, the handsome Absalom, the beautiful daughter Tamar, little Solomon with his nose in a scroll, Joab, the king, the commander of the king's army. The table is set, and the king scans to make sure all are present. But one is missing. Then the sound is heard. It's the sound of him coming down the hall. And Mephibosheth makes his way into the presence of the king. The king smiles because now he is here. And Mephibosheth takes his place at the table of grace. That's a picture of us, wounded, broken, ailing, wretched, poor. But we have been welcomed into the presence of the King, where we enjoy his grace. Let me finish reading today a poem by Julie Martin. I was that Mephibosheth, crippled by my twisted pride and hiding from you in a barren place where you could not find me. But somehow you found me, and I don't understand why, but you give me what I do not deserve. You not only spared my desolate life, but you have made it bountiful and beautiful. Let's give thanks to the King. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you sought us out. You summoned us to know you, not in judgment, not for fear, but you called us for grace. In this, Lord, we rejoice. And so we are glad. And may we always revel in this grace that you have shown us. We celebrate it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand for the doxology.